Live. Pastor Jason Cooley here with OPBC Online, a ministry of Old Pass Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota. And I am here with Brother Jim. How you doing, Brother Jim?
Good, brother. How you doing?
I am doing great. And
amen.
We have a lot to talk about, don't we?
Yes, sir.
You know, Brother Jim and I have been talking a lot about this probably for months now, I would say. What this show is about. I mean, I don't know how long you and I have been bouncing this idea back and forth and being like, man, this is just ridiculous, and it just drove us nuts.
4 or 5 months, probably.
Yeah, and we've thought about it here and there, and like, you know what? It's time to talk about this issue because it's not going anywhere.
Amen.
It's not, and you know what? It is incumbent upon us to stand up for the truth, and the Bible says if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And we're talking about the Hebrew Roots movement tonight, and we're talking about, you know, the Sacred Namers, the Hebrew Roots movement, and their attack. And their attack on the King James Bible, their attack on the name of Jesus. And, you know, they have a relentless attack upon it, and it's all based out of a bunch of nonsense, really. Go ahead, brother.
Their premise is they're waiting for another Jesus, and his name isn't Jesus. And so that's the issue at hand.
Well, and that's just it. I mean, it's interesting because when you start to define, you start to listen to them talk, they talk double talk.
It's all double talk. It's all double speak. It's sophistry. It's wordsmith. It's bait and switch.
Yep.
It's used car salesman tactics.
Yep, and the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And I believe that they are completely unstable in their ways, because when you listen to them talk, when you listen to what they say about the King James Bible, about what they say, especially this first guy, we're going to listen to his video, and we want you to listen to it. And this guy, I've read his books. I have like five or six of his books in my library here. I've read some of them. Chick Publications has sold some of them. Probably a great number of them Chick has sold. And at the end of the day, I'm chalking this guy up to being a phony. And I'm going to tell you that right now, and I don't care who gets mad at me about it. His name is Bill Schneblin. And William Schneblin, Bill Schneblin, whatever you want to call him, that's his name. And I think this man is dangerous, and I believe this warning about this man is very important. That's part of this, as we discuss the Hebrew Roots movement, because this man is sucking people into the Hebrew Roots movement, just like Skiba is, Rob Skiba.
Yeah.
Just like Staley. I think he's in jail maybe, though. I don't know where that guy is. Might be in prison.
Jim Staley. I think he's still in jail. Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's in jail. How about Rude?
Stealing and lying.
What's his name? Michael Rude? He didn't keep the law very well, it doesn't sound like.
No.
Michael Rude. The Rude Awakening. He's a Hebrew Roots guy that Kent Hovind went and did a meeting with. And we'll try to have Luke put up the picture of Kent Hovind in his Hebrew Roots garb, all right, dressed like in a costume, kind of like Bill Schneblin, dressed in their costume and running around trying to act like they're Jews.
Yeah.
These guys don't like the Book of Galatians very much. I've noticed that. They like to stay away from that. Now I know Kent Hovind's on Hebrew Roots. What's that?
Or the Book of Hebrews.
Or the Book of Hebrews, right.
Yeah.
So we might want to turn your volume up a little bit if you can, Brother Jim.
A little bit. Sure, brother.
Yeah, maybe just a little bit. Just turn that up just a little bit.
All right. Is that better?
There we go. Yep. That might be good. So, you know, this Rude Awakening thing, all of it's a bunch of Hebrew Root stuff. All of these sacred namers, they are everywhere, and they're not going anywhere, but there's just more people being sucked into it. The Flat Earth movement is absolutely infested with the Hebrew Roots movement. Rob Skiba.
To the point where, Bill Schneblin just came out on Rob Skiba's show and basically said he just converted to Flat Earth or whatever.
He converted to something. I just don't know what. But I honestly think these guys are going bat crazy. A lot of them are. And you know what? I don't pretend this is going to be popular with some people. But you know what? We're going to play the video. It's Yahushua versus Jesus. Now, before we get started, you have to remember this guy, Bill Schnevelin, said that his spiritual he got saved and all this other stuff. And then what happened because he got saved, you know, and he used the name of Jesus. He was a witch. He was a warlock. He was a vampire. I don't know. Lions and tigers and bears. Oh, my. I don't know. He was everything. And then after he turned into all these other things, then he got saved. And then after he got saved, he said the name of Jesus, and the King James Bible separated his ministry from all other ministries. But I want you to, and I'm going to stop this video, and Brother Jim and I are going to interject some thoughts as soon as we as he goes. So we're not going to play it all the way through. We're going to stop some of it, and you're going to listen to some of it and hear some of it. And I'm telling you, you're going to be like, oh, my goodness, what in the world is this guy talking about? And I want you to listen to what he says and notice the double talk in what he is saying. Okay, so go ahead, Brother Jim.
And, start here, but. And for anybody that has heard Bill Schnevelin's testimony or listened to him in the past, also notice how he is completely and utterly, absolutely contradicting everything that he has previously said.
Right.
I think that's the main point here. But, okay, I'll start it.
Shalom, everyone. This is Dr. William Stellan from With One Accord Ministries, and this is another one of our Treasure Guardian series. Today, we're going to talk about a topic, kind of an embellishment of something we discussed a few weeks ago, and that is the name of our Savior, Yahushua the Messiah. And I'm going to talk about the concept of Yahushua versus Jesus. Now, up front, let me just clarify something. I myself, back in 1984, was saved by kneeling at the foot of my bed and calling upon the name of Jesus and asking him to save me from my sins. That's fine. There's
okay,
nothing
stop.
Wrong with the name Jesus, or we're not getting into this whole thing that all it really means.
Oh, that's okay. Now, think about this for a second. He said, there's nothing wrong with doing that now. You know, there's nothing wrong. And I got saved by the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
And what does this sound like to you? It reminds me of Galatians. Who hath bewitched you?
Amen.
I mean, it's like, okay, so all of a sudden, all these years, the name of Jesus. And let me stop there and interject this part, because this is very important. For 400 years, and before that, we'll get to that information, but for 400 years, the name of Jesus has been used, right?
Amen.
In that King James Bible.
And it's still being used.
And it's
today.
Still being used, right. Absolutely.
Amen.
400 years, right?
Yeah.
400 years of revival of the greatest expansion of the faith ever on this earth, besides when the original apostles were there and they spread across the whole world. But we have, in America, the Great Awakening. We had all of these miracles of church planting and everything else take place. Devils were cast out in the name of Jesus. Everything was done in the name of Jesus. But now all of a sudden some guy comes along and says, hey, you got to know the Hebrew name and you got to say it this way. It was good enough to save you, Bill, but it wasn't good enough to use for the rest of your life.
Yeah, that's right.
That's weird.
It's really strange.
All right, here we go.
Do some fool thing like that. There's no linguistic basis for that. But I want to explain why in greater depth we do this, why we say Yahushua. The number one reason is because it's what he was called. I mean, that's what his family called him. And in fact, I want to read a scripture here from Matthew chapter 1. This is when Joseph found out that Mary, his betrothed, you know, kind of fiance, if you will, was child. He was very upset, understandably. He didn't know what to do. And then it says that, you know, while he thought on these things, this is verse 20 of Matthew chapter 1. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of Yahuwah appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which
stop for a second.
In her.
Now, listen, how come he's not reading everything in Hebrew?
Right. What's Joseph in Hebrew and what's David in Hebrew?
Right.
That's the lineage of Yahushua.
Right. Why do you pick and choose which names? Why are the rest of the words in the Bible right, but that one is wrong?
Yeah,
why, Bill, did God have the power to preserve the rest of his book, but not his own name? So everybody's been fooled, Bill, for all these years, and nobody's had the real name of God. Right, Bill? Give me a break. Who believes this nonsense? That this book is perfect and inspired until you get to the name of Jesus, then it's not anymore.
Right, and how could you ever support anything from Scripture? Because if anybody ever questioned anything that Scripture said, you could just say, well, that wasn't translated properly. Just like Jesus' name wasn't translated properly, that verse wasn't translated properly. That verse doesn't even belong there. It's not in the originals.
Right.
Yeah.
Unreal.
Of the Holy Ghost. This is what I want to mention. Verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name, first in the King James, it says Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, here's the point. Number one, the name Jesus did not exist 2,000 years ago. The letter J did not exist until about 500 years ago. So, whatever you want to say about the Scriptures, that is not what the angel said. Plus, of course, Joseph did not speak English.
Okay, stop.
Hebrew. Plus,
whatever else you want to say about the Scriptures, well, whatever. But that just didn't exist. Do you see what he's doing? This guy is absolutely destroying the authority of Scripture because
completely.
He's smarter than God. And he thinks that had to be put in there. He's smarter than those King James translators, right? He's smarter than the Hebrew Masoretes. He's smarter than the Greek, than all the translators of the King James Bible that translated that Koine Greek, which, by the way, it wasn't in Hebrew. So why would he use it? Why would he? That is just ridiculous.
The premise of the entire argument, its sole purpose, is to absolutely cast doubt on Scripture. And there is no way that you can make the argument that certain names were translated incorrectly while other Hebrew names were, quote-unquote, translated into Greek properly, and it's still okay to say those. But the argument is so void of logic. And people are getting sucked into this, and most of the people that are sucked into it are completely and totally reject the concept of the authority of the Bible. They already question it. They already doubt that it was preserved. So that's what makes what Bill is doing much more diabolical and sad, because at one point in time, supposedly, he did hold the King James Bible as a standard. He even wrote about it in his books, and that's how he explained that his quote-unquote ministry had all this success delivering people from devils was because he was using the standard, the preserved Word of God.
Right, and now he's been bewitched.
Yeah.
And that's just all there is to it.
Yeah, amen.
Keep going. Let's hear it.
On top of that, the language of heaven is Hebrew. It's not English. It's not Aramaic.
The language of heaven is Hebrew. Could I get a chapter and verse on that?
Yeah, have you been there, Bill? Have you been there, Bill? How do you know that? Bill, seriously. Bro, have you been there?
He just made that up.
He just pulled that, like out of his hat somewhere or somewhere else.
Out of his little yarmulke thingamabob.
Yeah, that little thing. Yeah. Is that spelled with a J?
yarmulke? I don't know. That's a good question.
Why isn't it the line of the tribe of Judah?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
It's not Greek. It's not Latin. It's Hebrew. And sometime we're going to do a video establishing that right out of the scriptures. But for now, understand that when this angel, Gabriel, probably came and spoke to Joseph, he said, "Thou shalt call his name Yahushua, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now, why does that make greater sense than saying Jesus? Well, connotatively, we understand that over the last 500 years, the name Jesus has acquired an enormous spiritual power.
Okay, stop.
Yep.
Bill? What does that mean? Has acquired an enormous amount of spiritual power? Okay, if it's not the name of God, and the Bible says, by the way, when it says in the name of God, it means upon the authority of Jesus Christ. That's what that means when you talk about in the name of. You're talking about in the authority of. You're talking about with the authority. Okay? That's why people say, do you baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, or do you baptize in the name of Jesus? All of it's an authority issue. It's
Amen.
Dealing with the authority of Jesus Christ. Okay? And they are three in one. All right? So it's dealing with the authority. It's not dealing with a ceremony. I have to say it a certain way. Bill, seriously. As I acquire, the name of Jesus has acquired. Okay, stop. Jim, could you tell me how the name of Jesus acquired much spiritual power? How could it acquire much spiritual power? How does a name acquire spiritual power?
Well, if a name can acquire spiritual power and it's a false name, where would that power come from?
Right. And that's really what he's trying to say. Because if
exactly
you look at the end of it,
say.
That's what the little double talk serpent is saying. Now, I'm sorry. You may not like what I'm saying, but the guy is actually challenging Jesus Christ and this book. And you know what? I don't have friends that do that. All right? I don't.
Amen.
I don't have friends that do that.
Yeah.
I don't hate him. I want him to get right with God. But I'm going to tell you what, that's not my friend that does that.
Nope.
That's somebody that's casting doubt on God's word. And it's and the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And he's not. And by the way, how could it acquire that spiritual power? Does that even make sense to you?
It's all this spooky stuff, man. It's just
part
not
of the whole
based
spooky
in the charism.
We're not going to get into this testimony of spooky. I was a vampire, teenage werewolf, whatever you want to call it, warlock, wizard. All kinds.
Mormon priest,
yeah, all this other stuff. That's great, okay? That's great, but it sounds like a bunch of fantastic nonsense. I've heard people with similar testimonies. They end up being devils, to be honest with you, unfortunately. Okay, let's go ahead.
All right.
I mean, because thousands and thousands, probably millions of people have been saved by calling upon his name. They have been saved. Believe in him, you know, for salvation.
Stop for a second. Okay, now this is creepy. Because this guy is saying that it acquired spiritual power by thousands and thousands of people calling upon his name and being saved by it.
Millions.
And millions. Do you understand what he's saying? That's witchcraft, Bill. That's not Christianity. Jesus' name didn't acquire power. Jesus is the power of God.
Amen.
The gospel is the power of God. This book is the power of God. Jesus Christ is God. That's where the power comes from.
Amen.
What in the world are you talking about? It acquired it from millions of people getting saved in the name of Jesus. So automatically it's like a lucky charm that has power? No, you still sound like a witch.
Amen. Yeah, John 1.
Yeah, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Amen.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Amen.
That's Jesus Christ. That's God. That's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's where the power comes from, because he's God. It didn't acquire any power. Jesus didn't acquire any power. He is God. Okay, his name didn't acquire power. He is God. That is absolutely ridiculous for somebody to make a statement like this and not to be checked. I'm tired of these spooky charismatics. I'm tired of their nonsense and their garbage and their false doctrine infesting churches, infesting people believing this nonsense and reading it and following it and getting caught up in this spooky, fake spiritual warfare that is not biblical. It lacks the soberness of the Word of God. And guess what? He's going to challenge the Word of God here. He's challenging the Word of God here.
Yeah.
For a fake fairy tale spiritual warfare, a name that nobody even knows, that nobody can pronounce.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm getting fired up, I know.
All right, brother.
You know, but on the other hand, you know, the problem is, the denotation, the literal meaning of the word Jesus, there isn't one. It doesn't mean anything. The word Yahushua, his real name, is a mixture of two words. Yah, which is the divine name of the Father, and then Hoshua or Yeshua, salvation. So Yahushua means Yah saves or Yah is salvation. Now, let's read that in the context again. Thou shalt call his name Yahushua, Yah saves, for the angel said he shall save his people from their sins. Doesn't that make a lot more sense than saying, for thou shalt call his name Jesus, when Jesus doesn't really mean anything?
Stop.
That's the point. His name was Yahushua.
Seriously. You didn't just say that the name of Jesus doesn't mean anything.
Well, he just said that Yahushua means that he shall save his people from their sins, and he shall save his people from their sins. Doesn't that make more sense that he repeated himself twice? That doesn't even, the argument, it's so foolish. It's like,
Not even logical. And if I can doubt that name, why do I believe the rest of the Bible?
Well, here's the thing. Okay, he said Jesus doesn't mean anything, but the verse said, hey, this is what Jesus means. He shall save his people from their sins. Okay? But it's troubling.
It's a convoluted argument. And I'm very passionate about it because it's challenging the very foundations of the Word of God.
And
it's dangerous. It's absolutely dangerous. And listen, it gets people – listen – people are wasting their time with this nonsense. They're wasting their time with this nonsense. I mean, they're living their they don't believe the name of Jesus. They don't believe the King James Bible. They don't believe any of it anymore. Why? Because they're too busy wasting their time with Bill saying that angels visited his house and had a conversation with him and his wife. This is the kind of nonsense that happens with this man. And this is the Hebrew roots nonsense. They don't want you to believe the Bible in English. They want to attack the King James Bible for some fanciful other names that they can't even prove.
Yeah, and none of them can even agree on which name. The name that has all this power and means all this stuff, whichever the proper ancient Hebrew pronunciation is, they can't agree on it. He couldn't even agree on it when he was trying to tell you what the name of Jesus was with himself.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, that's what the angel said. That's what his parents called him. That's what his disciples called him. And probably for the first couple of hundred years, that's what everybody called him. That was his name. And the funny thing is, you can look through the Bible.
He said probably for the first couple hundred years. Once again, he's trying to make some false claim that the New Testament was written in Hebrew when it was not.
That's, they spoke Koine or Aramaic, right? And Koine Greek is what was written. That's what the New Testament was written in.
Yeah, the Textus Receptus.
Right.
Yeah, the Textus Receptus has 5,200 manuscripts that all agree, and none of them were written in Hebrew.
Right. So why would they use a Hebrew name right there in an English or in a Greek Bible? In a Greek
Testament. Yeah, and then there's the whole issue of when they do use Hebrew in the Greek New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So.
Right. So the point is, why didn't they do it for the name? Why wouldn't they do it for something so important as the name of God?
Yep. Amen.
Or the name of Jesus. Why wouldn't they?
Yeah.
And let me explain one other thing here. There's a difference between translation and transliteration. What do I mean by that? Well, for example, if you try to translate the name Yahushua, you would end up not with Jesus, but with Joshua, because Joshua is the English translation of Yahushua. And if you don't believe me, go look it up in Strong's Concordance.
Oh, yeah.
Stop.
Basically, Yahushua.
So Strong's Concordance is the authority over the King James Bible.
See, yep. Every Bible Gnostic, Bible hater, questioner of Scripture, they always want to go to Strong's, and the Strong trumps everything, because obviously whoever wrote the Strong's was smarter than the council, the guys that translated the King,
right?
Whoever that is, who wrote the current volume of Strong's that they're referencing?
Right.
Yeah, they don't even know, but somehow it's right.
As long as they can be smarter than the Bible, as long as they can be smarter than God, then they'll be fine.
Yeah.
It is Joshua. But, you know, that's not what happens in the Bible. Here's the funny thing. You go through the Bible, and you will find hundreds of names that are Hebrew names, like Barnabas, like, you know, Samuel. And these names are basically transliterated. That means they are moved more or less into English without substantive changes in them. You know, for example, Samuel is Shemuel in Hebrew. That's how it would be pronounced in Hebrew. So there's not a lot of difference between Shemuel and Samuel. Or another example is Isaiah would be Yeshayahu in Hebrew. And there's a little difference there, but it's a good college try, so to speak. But on the other hand, you have the name Yahushua, Jesus. I mean, there's almost no resemblance between the two words. So why do they do that? Well, that's a question for the ages. But the point is, in these latter days, Abba Father is restoring his son's name. And I would submit to you that there's a great deal of power in using his name instead.
Abba Father is restoring his son's name.
The restoration movement, huh?
Okay, so where did God promise that he was going to wait to the latter days to restore his son's name?
Well, you got to understand something, brother. It'd be wrong for 500 years and somebody would find it somewhere and they would fix it. That's like every other stinking rotten heretic and heretical group that's ever gone. They said the truth has been hidden for so many years and now we have it. Now,
it's
who does
recall? It's Mormonism. It's all of it.
The Mormons, the JWs, the Gnostics, all of them, all of them. The Disciples of Christ, the Campbellite movement, all of them.
Yep.
They're the restoration movement.
They got to fix it.
Yep. Yep. They got to fix it. They got to bring it back because it's been broken for 500 years.
Except for the fact that the Bible said that Jesus Christ would build his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why none of these people want to talk about church history. And that's why.
Yeah, who's Bill's pastor?
Yeah, of his ministry.
Yeah, Bill, who's your pastor? What church do you belong to? Who do you answer to? Who do you, what group of men do you answer to?
Rabbinical Jews, maybe like a rabbi.
Yeah, who do you answer to? I know who you hang out with.
Yeah.
How come your ministries aren't ministries of local New Testament churches? Why are they ministries that are just ministries? Why are they ministries that are out there on their own, do whatever you want to do?
because that way they can do whatever they want to do.
Right. And they can draw the masses in.
Yeah.
The name Jesus. The second reason we use that name is because we believe it's more respectful. And as I've said many times, if you have somebody that's a foreign dignitary come to America, you don't translate their name. Like, for example, Vladimir Putin, who's the president of Russia. When he comes to America, he's not called William Putin. He's called Vladimir Putin. And, you know, there's all sorts of examples of that, even to the point that you have people of Latino heritage that are named Jose. When we introduce them here in America, we don't call them Joe or Joseph. We call them Jose.
So everybody needs to be like Brian Williams, right? And so they're going to be like, you know, reporting the news. And tonight in Venezuela,
right?
You know what I mean? It's like all these fakes that are on the television that they suddenly turn Spanish when they're talking about like a South American country.
Right.
It's like the same. Vladimir Putin's name is, if you were Russian, you wouldn't say Vladimir Putin. You wouldn't say that. So the argument is insane.
Mm-hmm. It's nuts.
Yeah.
It's not even applicable what they're using.
No, none of his arguments. And, there, you know, and I got to explain this to you. Let me explain this.
Let me explain this.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's the prettiest thing to do. Well, in the same way, Yahushua was born an Israelite. He came out of a Hebrew culture. He spoke Hebrew. His family called him Yahushua. Maybe we should call him Yahushua. But there's another point that's a little more subtle that I want to address. And that is, many people over the years in my various messages have heard me speak about the idea of an egregore. That's a Greek word. It's not a Greek philosophy. But basically what it means is that it's kind of like when a name or a concept is used by many, many, many people, it kind of acquires, it's like a thought form, and it kind of acquires a life of its own. And if it's something that's not good, it can even acquire demonic strongmen behind it. An example of that would be the goddess Diana.
Okay, stop. Now, he just compared the name of Jesus to the goddess Diana and said there's a devil behind it.
He just gave validity to Greek mythology. Basically, what he's doing is he's like, yeah, you know, the pagan Greeks and like what they would say about like, I don't know, if you think about something long enough, it'll become reality, you know? He's basically validating the fact of what they believe in Greek mythology and basically saying that it's true. And then he's saying it about Jesus.
Look, let me tell you that basically, what he sounds like is, if I can coin a phrase of somebody, he sounds a little witchy poo. That's what he's sounding like.
Now, who said that, witchy poo?
Aaron. he sounds a little witchy poo there. That's what he sounds like. He sounds like a witch. I'm telling you, this guy, I don't trust this guy. I think
no.
This guy right here. I personally think Bill Schneblin is leading people off a track and into the water. That's what I think he's doing.
Yeah.
I don't mean the water of life. I mean he is leading them to, well, I should say the fire. He's leading them to hell. That's what I think is going on here. Because the stuff this guy is bringing up, and you might say, well, you're too extreme. Well, you know what? I hope the guy repents. I really do. I hope the guy repents.
The guy said at the beginning he got saved by Jesus. And now he's going about to explain how
the name of Jesus has a devil behind it.
Yes, and how it has developed all this power, and it's conjured all this power, and it's that's nuts.
You know, I seem to remember, you know, this logic like this. You know, this logic is Satan casting out Satan.
Yeah. Well, and that's what he said. Because
seems to be a pattern with these devils.
if you listen to his testimony, he said that they would, 1,200 devil-possessed people, they cast them out in his deliverance ministry, whatever that is, okay? Because, you know, there's ministry, it's called the local New Testament church, and mm-hmm. whatever a deliverance ministry is, and I every time, the only time I've ever heard of a deliverance ministry, it was ran by some guy like by the name of Win Worley, or some mm-hmm. some crazy
or charismatic
kooky bird. Yeah, crazy charismatic kooky bird.
People don't just get saved anymore; they got to have a deliverance ministry.
Yeah.
You know, I never saw Jesus have to take people through like 10 years of counseling or 10 years of these steps to get devils out of them. I don't see that anywhere in the Bible. Jesus did say this kind come not forth but by prayer and fasting. We understand that, but it wasn't this long process of like intense 8 to 12 to 15 hour meetings nonstop in order for you to get that. You know what? That's charismatic nonsense, and you know what? I can see it for what it is. It's nonsense. It's not Bible. You don't see it in the Bible.
It is lucrative, though.
Yeah, it is lucrative. They make a lot of money on it. People use it for positions of control, too.
Yeah.
Are you familiar with the thing in the book of Acts where there's this whole conflict between Paul and Barnabas and the Ephesians, and this, you know, great is the Diana of the Ephesians, and they have... And historically, they had this enormous temple in Ephesus with this giant, you know, statue of Diana in it. And because for hundreds and hundreds of years back then, the goddess Diana was worshipped. It became an egregore. It became a thought form. And it acquired a life of its own that has come down to us, down to the centuries, even to this very day. There are witches, and I used to be one of them, that worship the goddess Diana, or Artemis is the Greek word. The same being, the same, it's a demon. Behind the facade of Diana was this really sweet, beautiful.
So he just said that Jesus is a demon.
Okay, so now are you ready for this? Okay. This King James Bible right here, he's saying, if you follow his logic, and I'm following it, if you follow his logic, he's saying that there's a demon behind this book, this Bible, the King James Bible, and the name of Jesus, because you cannot detach the name of Jesus. Bill, I won't let you detach the name of Jesus from the King James Bible. It's there, and you know it. It's in there, and you can't get around it.
9 minutes ago, he just said that he was saved by that demon.
Yeah.
So, explain that one.
Right. And all the comments are disabled on his video, by the way.
I would hope
that's
so.
Okay, Bill. We don't need your we have your video. We're using it. And we're also going to put it out to warn other people about it, because you need to repent. This is absolutely wicked. What you've said is wicked. And if you are a child of God, you'll repent. I hope you're not an idol shepherd that has one eye.
Because
that's what I think. I don't think you can see out of both eyes.
Whatever goddess type individual, there's a demon. There's a strong man that hides behind this thought form, this egregore. Well, I'm going to say something pretty radical here, but I want you to just hear me out. I would submit to you that the name Jesus is a egregore because there's no real thing behind it. I mean, Yahushua is the Savior. Yahushua is the sovereign master of the universe. He's the son of Yahuwah manifest in the flesh. And it's only been for the past 400 or 500 years that we've had this Jesus. And the
master of the universe?
What is this, He-Man?
Like, He-Man? Then I mean, master of the universe.
Jesus does the call, the power of grace call. What's the matter with you?
No. No. And in Greek, Hebrew, or in the King James Bible, I know for a fact in the King James Bible, Jesus is never referred to as master of the universe.
Sounds like Masonic language.
Super. Yeah. Sounds like Kabbalistic Hebrew to me.
Bill, you sound like a witch.
Yeah.
Problem is that Jesus is holy, even going back before that time when in Greek times they called him Jesus, which isn't really very much like Yahushua either, or in Latin it was Jesu.
Wait, stop.
Then down through the years, you know, it finally became.
He just admitted that that name, that variation of that name was used before that.
Right.
He just admitted it.
Yeah. He talks a lot of double talk. Just like at the very beginning, it might have broke off where he said, you know, a lot of these guys like Skiba, they try to make it sound like you're saying, hey, Zeus, you know, when you say Jesus. And he said that there is no literal history to prove that, that that's all fabricated and false. But then he just said what he just said.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Name Jesus. But the problem is it's all been Romanized. It's all been Hellenized. The Greek culture, the Roman pagan culture, and over the centuries kind of created this, what, pardon the expression, is kind of Sissified Jesus. That's sort of a wimp.
Okay, so, hey. Yep. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say, but these guys, right, oh, this has been Romanized, this has been paganized. You want to know what they never talk about? They never talk about Babylonian captivity.
Right.
They never talk about the Babylonian Talmud. They never talk, well, they do. They do talk about the Babylonian Talmud. They teach it. And they do talk about Kabbalah because they teach it. And that's where these guys get their rabbinical midrash and tradition, oral traditions and all this stuff. That's where they get it from. That's where they're getting it from. And they always want to talk about how Romanized and how paganized everything is. They never want to talk about Babylon. They never want to talk about the Babylonian. Yep. What's that?
Why are they silent about the Kabbalah?
Yep.
They don't want to talk about where a lot of their beliefs come from.
Yep, that's right.
And where that came from. Babylon.
Yep.
Right? But listen, now here's what he's doing in your mind. He's trying to get you to say, well, if you believe the name Jesus, then you believe in Caesar Borgia or whatever, and you believe in the long-haired hippie Jesus because – you know, that's the name Jesus. That's where it comes from. Well, number one, that's a lie. He's lying. He's making a fallacy of association that is not there.
Yep.
Because the Bible says there's another Jesus.
And his name might be Yehoshua.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this guy is basically trying to drag you back underneath the law, drag you back under, and the, this Jesus doesn't keep Torah and doesn't do this and doesn't do that. Okay, where'd you get that from?
Yeah, besides the fact that Jesus fulfilled the law, he didn't keep it, he fulfilled it, he completed it.
Right.
Yeah.
Hmm. Go ahead.
You know, he doesn't keep the Torah. He doesn't expect anybody to do really anything except love everyone. You know, and like Ben Kinchlow, I heard him say many years ago on the 700 Club, it's basically, you know, his impression of Jesus at first was he was this weird guy that hung out with sheep and wore a dress. And I mean, that's not the real Yahushua. The real Yahushua is the Lion of the Tribe of Judah.
Oh,
and he's coming back again soon. And this sissified, lawless Jesus has become an anger norm that millions and millions of Christians literally worship. And I'm sorry, but it's kind of an idol. I hate to say it, but but it bears very little resemblance to the Yahushua of the Bible, who said he came not to destroy the Torah, but to fulfill it.
Where do you find that at, Bill?
He came to say, and he did say in John.
Where does it say that in the King James Bible that he came for the to fulfill the Torah? Read me that
and
in the King James Bible. It's not there. You're making that, Bill? You're adding words.
They have to add words because that they know that any Christian person or any person that's been in church, they know without a shadow of a doubt if they use the word law, they know that people would immediately reject that. And that's why they substitute the word law with Torah so they can do their whole bait and switch thing.
The mind game.
Because if they came right out and said, well, you got to keep the law, they know for a fact that everybody would be like, wait a minute, I know you don't have to keep the law, but that's why they switch it to Torah, they can't even agree on how to say Torah.
Right, but he is basically, he just said that the name of Jesus was an idol.
Yeah. He said that the name of Jesus was a devil.
Yes, he did.
Power, a powerful devil.
With an, what do you say, an Igor behind it?
Here's what I don't understand. Why are you explaining another Greek philosophy? Like, why don't you explain what the Hebrews think about it? Instead, you know, it's all this. He's just trying to make himself sound smart, and it really doesn't sound smart at all.
Nope.
If you love me, keep my commandments. That's what he said. If you love me, keep my commandments. Well, this modern Sissified Jesus just says, oh, well, just love everybody and say a little prayer and everything will be fine. That's not what Yahushua said. That's not what the entire New Testament says. It isn't. It's not his message. It's not the good news. And this Jesus that is this egregore is a representation of all of that. Now, again, I'm not saying that if you pray to that Jesus or if you come to faith and ask him to save you, that somehow there's something wrong with that.
Yes, you did. You just said that. Why are you lying? You just said that there was a problem with it, and it's a devil. How can you do this video without your head popping off in insanity?
Because for the same reason that Calvin didn't baptize anybody.
Wow.
Because Calvin was never baptized. Well, Bill was saved by Jesus. The demon, the devil, I'm using his words, demon, but so he was saved that way. So, of course, he has to say there's nothing wrong with it, but he just said that it was a demon.
Yeah.
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 And who can listen to this? And
what's up with the costume?
If you want to listen to
nobody walks around wearing that. Nobody walks around dressed like that.
I think he's read too much Tolkien.
Yeah, it looks like you're at a toga party. Toga, toga, toga.
I'm just saying that you need to rethink this because there's a whole close to 1,000 years of Roman and Greek bad theology lurking behind the mask of Jesus. And besides, you know, most of the pictures you see of him, he didn't even look like that. I mean, you know, he always looks kind of like he has a pebble in his sandal, kind of like that. And he's thin, and he's wan, and he's kind of emaciated, maybe even a little bit effeminate looking. That wasn't Yahushua. Yahushua was a carpenter. He was a craftsman. You know, he was probably a big, burly guy. Because he worked with his hands for the first 30 years of his life. So, you know, the Romans had made him in their own image. And Yahuwah and Yahushua both say, I am Yahuwah, your Elohim.
So the Romans were a bunch of sissies.
Yeah, have you ever met a Roman soldier, Bill? Seriously, Bill. Have you ever met one? Did you ever see one? Have you read any history, Bill? Have you ever read the history of the Roman Empire? You think a bunch of sissies took over the world? Seriously, man.
Yeah, and every pastor and every church and every King James Bible that uses the word Jesus, they all teach this Jesus loves everybody, sissy Jesus, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me gospel. They all do that, obviously, because they've all been Romanized. It's another bait and switch. And it's because his argument has no substance, so that's why he's got to do another bait and switch here at the end.
You shall not have any other Elohim before me. He doesn't want any false Elohim in his presence. So I know this is kind of a jarring, radical idea, but you need to ask yourself, is the Jesus that I worship, is he an idol? And I'll end with this. Way back years ago, when I was still working with Ed Decker out in Seattle, in the early 90s, I heard a sermon, and I heard this preacher say, all of us have a false image of the we all have built up from years of whatever, you know, our own brokenness, our own woundedness or whatever, we all have a false image in our minds, in our hearts of the Almighty, of Yahushua, and of the Holy Spirit. He said, you need to pray, and he actually did an altar call, and he said, you need to pray and ask the Father to remove any false images of, you know, he said Jesus, of course, but you
know. Oh,
all right. Jesus. Okay, so now let's look at his whole entire argument, right? So what does he say? The Bible doesn't say this. It really says this, right? It's not Jesus, it's Yahushua, and it's not God, it's Elohim, right? And so then he's going to close with this argument of this great message he heard, right? And the Almighty and all this stuff. And I love how these guys, like, how can you use the word Almighty? How can you use Father or Heavenly Father? They still use all these other titles for God.
In fairness, Bill uses fodder. He doesn't really.
But so his last explanation is like his entire video. He's telling you about this awesome sermon, and oh well, yeah, this guy, he said the word Jesus.
Well, that loser used the name of Jesus, but hey.
But other than that, it was a great sermon. It's just like, he just says, everybody that preaches Jesus preaches this sissy thing, but then he says, but this guy didn't do that, but he still used the word Jesus, but he didn't really mean it. He meant Yahushua and Elohim and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yahushua out of your life. Any false images of the Father out of your life. Well, I did that, and I added that to my prayer every day. Every single day I would pray, among the other things I would pray for, please remove any false images of you out of my heart, out of my mind, out of my life. Very soon after that, the Holy Spirit showed me Yahushua. It was an answer to prayer. And ever since then, I've been drawing closer to him, and I've been becoming more and more vital in my walk.
Okay, stop.
I just wanted to suggest.
Okay, so what Bill is saying is that I can't open up this King James Bible and draw closer to God because I can't. So I, okay, Jim, I don't speak Hebrew or Yiddish.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or Yiddish.
Yeah. I don't speak Hebrew or Yiddish. So if I open this book up right here, this Bible, this King James Bible, I can't find out the truth that Bill gave me just now.
Yeah.
It's impossible for me to find out Yahushua. It's impossible for me to find that out just reading my King James Bible. Now, the Bible
says, Bill just.
What's that?
Bill just used the word Holy Spirit, which is the Ruach.
Right.
So he actually just
contradicted his
blaspheme the Holy Spirit or whatever. I don't even know, man.
But if you look at what the Bible says, it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. But Bill just told me that that's not the case, because I couldn't learn what he just told me from this King James Bible. I can't learn this from the book. What he just told me, I can't learn from this book.
You can't learn it from that book because it's not there.
Exactly.
Nobody can learn it.
Right. So you
need some rabbi to tell you.
You have to go to another source, because Bill is saying that God did not preserve his name or his word.
Yeah. Where did Bill learn how to properly pronounce in ancient Hebrew what Jesus' name was in ancient Hebrew? Where did he learn that?
Yeah. Where did he meet?
Who taught him that? Yeah.
Begs the question, how do you say Chimley?
It's a good question.
It's a good question. Unbelievable. Well, let's finish him out here. Let's let him finish his speech here.
All right.
As I conclude, I want to suggest to you that you pray and ask the Father, ask the Holy Spirit, to reveal to you any false images of Yahushua in your life. In fact, let's just pray right now as we conclude. And I would invite you. I'm going to give a little altar call here, and I would invite you to pray with me right now. Abba, Father, we know that you are the source of all truth. Through your word and through your spirit, you can lead us to your truth.
Who's the creepy lady whispering in the background?
That would be his second wife. His first one passed away. That's his wife there that basically runs the ministry, kind of.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right now, Abba, Father, in Yahushua's name, I ask you to remove any false images or ideas I have about you or your son from my mind, and fill my mind only with your truth, with your set-apart spirit.
Yes.
I thank you for it. In the name of Yahushua the Messiah, Amen.
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 Did he say old maid or old man?
Please pray about this.
Did he say old maid or old man?
He said, oh, man.
Oh, man. What's oh, man?
No.
Man, is any man wrong, too?
What? Yeah, of course it is. That's, you know, the Seventh-day Adventist, that's the goddess of something, Amin or whatever. That's some Egyptian god. So every time you say amen, you're actually worshiping an Egyptian god, though it says amen in the King James Bible.
These people need some help.
And it does say Abba, Father,
mm-hmm,
in the King James Bible, and they translated that right. But I don't think the word father is Hebrew. Is that how you spell father in Hebrew? Is that how you say it, father?
I don't know.
How's that?
I mean, Jesus has a lot of names in the Bible, so.
Right, and that one's right, but some of them are wrong, but the Almighty is right. How do you say Almighty in Hebrew, and why would you defile it by saying it in English? I don't understand the entire premise.
And let me ask you something, Jim. If God is going to show me more about his son, where is he going to show me at?
Well, he would send Gabriel directly to you and tell you.
Right. So he's going to show me what in here?
Gabriel?
Yeah. No. God is going to show me more about Jesus in his word. Bill is basically saying that you're going to have a feeling that Yahushua was right and Jesus is not, and God reveal this to me. No, God reveal it. Notice he didn't say God reveal it in your word.
Nope.
God, please reveal it in this King James Bible. Not there.
Nope. Nope. And I would love for him to explain how he figured out how to properly pronounce Jesus' name.
Yeah. Where'd you hear that from?
From the Strong's Concordance.
Oh, boy. This is getting stranger and stranger as we go.
Yeah.
Well, that is the first part of this. We wanted to cover that, and that gives you an idea, really the basis of what we're going to talk about here for the rest of it. But it's this challenge, and this is the Hebrew roots attack, and this is their logic. What you just heard was their teaching and their logic on why the King James Bible has mistakes in it. Now don't they have like a new sacred name, King James Bible or something like that? Restored name?
The restored name, King James Bible.
Ha ha.
Where everything's the same except where they messed up on a couple of the names.
Aha.
In certain spots, but not everywhere. That's actually the full title of the Bible.
That's a big title.
Yeah, it is. It's fine print.
I wonder how much that one cost.
A lot. I bet you. Hey, while we're talking about selling books on your website.
Oh, yeah. Good idea.
It's very interesting.
I will have Luke put the picture in for us.
Yes, it's very interesting. Bill Schneblin's website that, let's see here. It's kind of like triple interesting because Bill, at one point in time, claimed that there was power in the King James Bible. Mm-hmm. And now the name of Jesus is an argigor or whatever. Okay. But on the With One Accord Ministries website, there's a Bible verse on there. Okay, I'm going to read it to you. Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. That's weird.
Why do you have the algigor?
I don't know.
Demonic Jesus name on there.
Why?
If you read, this is at Yahushua.net. In the beginning, Elohim created the heaven and the earth. Why aren't you just using all English or all? I don't get it. And the earth became without form and void. And the earth became without form. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. That's not the only change in there. Did you see that?
Yep.
And the earth was without form and void, the Bible says.
Yep.
They just changed that, and the earth became without form. Those dirty rock, they just snuck that in there.
Yep. Yeah, and Bill's verse with Jesus in it isn't even a King James verse. It's probably because it says said instead of say it. So how does that work? It's like a double. Yeah.
Wow. And Elohim called the firmament heaven. So they basically changed all. What are these guys, like Jehovah's Witnesses or something? And Elohim created great whales and every living creature that moveth. So they
Well, the majority of the Hebrews, like Sceva, they're modalists. So they do not believe in the Trinity. And I don't know if Bill's a modalist now, but Rob Sceva denies the Trinity.
Yeah, he's a heretic. He's going
because that's pagan.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh no! In the beginning, in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yahweh.
Yahweh.
YHWH.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Tetragrammaton.
Yeah, and the Word was Yahweh. Is that how you say that, Yahweh, or is that Yod Heh?
Yod Heh Vah Heh.
The thing beginning with Yod Heh Vah Heh. All things were made by him, without anything was not made. Okay. There was a man sent from Yod Heh Vah Heh, whose name was John. I see. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of Yod Heh Vah Heh, even them that believe on his name.
Yeah.
But I just figured out that that's not the only change that they made. The next day, John seeth Yahushua coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of Yod Heh Vod Heh, which taketh away the sins of the world, the sin of the world.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Here's another one. This is scary, man. I know we weren't planning on doing this, but this is really scary. Listen to this. This is that restored Yahushua.net. This is that restored King James Bible, right? Listen to this. This is weird. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the set apart Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they're modalists.
Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. Is Bill Schneblin recommending this, or do you know?
I do not know.
I don't either, but it doesn't matter because they most of them are. They're saying, whether they're recommending or not, they're saying the King James Bible is wrong and this will fix it.
Right, and they're changing stuff, not just the supposed names, certain names. They're changing the text.
I just saw like two changes of the text right away, just at a glance.
Yeah.
Wow. The blood of Yahushua, the Messiah, his son, cleanses us from all sin. It doesn't say that.
Yep, they're adding words.
Why don't these guys have... We have an advocate with the Father. Yahushua, the Messiah, the righteous. That's not what it said. We have an advocate with the Father. Jesus Christ, the righteous. So they don't even use Christ? They use Messiah?
No, because Christ is Greek. Yeah, Christ is Greek for the Messiah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's evil. They're changing everything.
Yeah.
Okay, so we could do a separate show on just that. But anyway, we'll do that. Maybe I'll do that later sometime. But anyway, we can move on to what we were talking about. But really, the crux of it is we have to get back to this understanding of the whole issue, the crux of this issue, is Jehovah wrong? Is it a new invention? Is it Yahweh, Yahawah, Yahuwah, Yehovah, Yahu, or Yahu? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So should we go right to that article there? Should we go to Brand Plucked? Should we go to Brand Plucked?
Yes. Yep.
Let's go there first, and we'll read through some of these here. And why don't you get started, brother, and we'll just read these names that have been transliterations.
Okay. Yes, and this is the general consensus, okay? So we have Jeshua, Yeshua, 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 Yeshusha, Yehoshua, Yeshua, Yeshua, Ha, Jeshu, Yeshu, Yehoshua, Yehoshua. Then you got the
Yod Hey Vah Shua.
Yod Hey Vah Hey Shua. Then you got the Yod Hey Vah Hey Shuha. Then you got the you got the YHVH Shua, then you got the, in lowercase, YHWH Shua, then you got the capital YHWH Shua.
Man, there's so many of these, we can't even read through them all.
No, and I can't, you know, and there's literally Yehoshua, at least 40.
Jehoshua, Yahshua, 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 they all sound the same to me. Yahshua, I mean, there's like there's so many different ones.
But this is what would happen. This is what would happen with a language that dies. I mean, it died for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it's gonna have all these crazy derivatives because it was dying, and the whole Yiddish factor.
Yep, we're gonna get to that.
Yeah.
So basically, in regards to Jehovah, a remarkable thing about the King James Bible is that the name is found exactly 7 times in the Bible. What's that number 7 stand for, Brother Jim?
Perfect.
Amen.
Amen.
spiritual perfection, this Hebrew word, there are actually two variants of this Hebrew word. One is he uses number 3068, Jehovah, and the variant number 3069, Jehovah, Jehovah. It is translated three different ways by the King James Bible as Lord, in all capitals, God, and Jehovah. How about that?
All capitals, yeah, all three in all capitals.
Yep.
To denote it. Yep.
Yep. The NASB only translates this word in two ways, as Lord and God. The NKJV has either Lord, God, or inconsistently as Yah. God is a triune God, and the King James Bible has translated it in three ways, Lord, all capital, God, all capital, and Jehovah, all capital. The one time the word Jah occurs in the King James Bible, but this is a different but related Hebrew word 3060, Jah. God is the creator, Lord is the sovereign ruler of his creation, and Jehovah is the personal name of the Redeemer God who redeems his people. Let's look at it. Talk about the first time Jehovah is used there, Brother Jim.
The first time Jehovah appears is in Genesis 22:14, when Abraham is stopped from offering up his son Isaac. All of this, of course, is a type of the father offering up his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day in the mount. God will provide, Jehovah Jireh. Amen.
Amen. The second time the name appears in Christ is the second person of the Trinity is in the second book of Exodus, which is the book of redemption. In Exodus 6, 3 through 6, God appears to Moses, and here the name is used again in connection with redemption. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them.
Amen.
The name of God is not just the physical letters Jehovah or Lord or God, but has to do with his character. The name of God is who he is. See Exodus 34, 5 through 7, where the Lord proclaims the name of the Lord to Moses. Likewise, the second time the word redeem occurs in the Bible is found right here in its context. Verse number 6, and I will redeem you with the stretched out arm and with great judgments. So Jehovah is the personal name of the Redeemer God.
Amen.
Now, Jim, give us the list here of the word Jehovah as it has been used in different versions of the Bible until up until the King James Bible and even afterwards.
Okay, so the word Jehovah as the personal name of God is found not only in the King James Bible, but also in the Tyndale 1534, the Great Bible of 1540, Matthew's Bible of 1549, Bishop's Bible of 1568, the Geneva Bible of 1599, the Bill Bible 1671, Webster's translation in 1833, the Longman version in 1841, the Boothroyd Bible of 1853, the Well-Beloved Scriptures, 1862, the Smith Bible, 1876, the Revised English Bible, 1877, Sharp Bible, 1883, the Revised Version, 1885, Darby's Translation, 1890, Young's Literal Translation in 1898, the American Standard Version in 1901, the Ancient Hebrew Bible in 1907, the Modern Reader Bible 1907, the Improved Bible 1913, the 1936 Jewish Translation, which was a Hebrew publishing company in New York, and Lamb's 1936 translation of the Syriac Peshitta.
Now, that's important because the Peshitta is very accurate. Okay, it's not the King James Bible, but it is extremely accurate. And for him to translate that word Jehovah in there, that meant a lot to the subject we're talking about.
Okay. The Fenton Bible in 1966, the New Berkeley Version 1969, the New English Bible in 1970, the King James Version 21st Century in 94, the Living Bible in 1971, let's see, the Third Millennium Bible in 1998, God's First Truth in 1999, the Heritage Bible in 2003, the Revised Geneva in 2005, the Torah Transliteration Scriptures in 2008, the Bond Slave version in 2009, Holy Scriptures VW edition in 2010 by Paul Becker, the Biblos Interlinear Bible of 2011, the BRG Bible 2012, and the Far Above All Translations 2014.
Wow. So, you see, it's not new, okay? It's been used for many years, that name Jehovah, and a lot of well-known scholars and people use that name for a very long time. So to make the argument like it came out of obscurity and nobody used it and all those things is a lie.
Yep.
It's a bait and switch. False, but it's proven over and over again that you have to completely be dishonest to believe that that name just came out of thin air and that they didn't understand what they were doing.
Right, exactly.
Just no way. Among foreign language Bibles that have Jehovah are the Spanish Cipriano de Valera Bible of 1602. Let's see. Then we have the Spanish Reign of Valera of 1865, of 1909, of 1960, of 1995. The La Virgen Moderna, 1929. The 2004 Reign of Valera Gomez, which is important, by the way, that's interesting, actually. Let's see. I mean, man, there's a lot of them. The Malagasy Bible, 1865. I can't even pronounce the Vietnamese Bible in 1934, and the German Elberfelder, 1871, and the German Typhi Bibel, 1911. The name has disappeared from versions like the RSV, the NKJV, the NIV, the NASB, the ESV, and probably the HIV. No, sorry.
So what you're saying is the RSV, the NKJV, the NIV and the NASB and the ESV are all trying to do what Schneblin's trying to do?
Yes. They're trying to discredit the Textus Receptus. They're trying to discredit the King James Bible, the majority text that was accepted by the churches. They're trying to discredit that completely and say that they've found some secret teaching of all ages, that the secret name of God that nobody has known. You know what that sounds like? It sounds a lot like Freemasonry, because
yes,
there's a secret that Freemasonry has. Incidentally, Bill was a high-level – apparently he was a high-level Freemason as well.
In his spare time, yeah.
In his spare time. So what's up with the secret name? God's name isn't a secret.
Bill's best job was writing Christian books, by the way.
I believe
just
that.
Saying. Yeah.
Some people tell us the name of God should be something like Yahweh or Yod-Heh-Vod-Heh or Yahweh or Yahweh rather than Jehovah. The problem with this argument is that there are a multitude of biblical personal names that all have Jehovah as part of the name. Check this out. Watch this. You never hear anybody say their names like this, do you?
Yeah.
Ready? We read in the English versions that I am aware of the names such as Jehoiakim. Nobody says Yahukim.
Right.
Jehi. Nobody says Yehaya. Jehoshaphat. Nobody says Jehoshaphat. Jehohanan. Jehochin. Jehoiada. Nobody says Jehoiada. And I don't even know if you'd say it that way. You'd say it probably a different way, right? I don't know. Yod-Heh. Jehoram. Jehoshua. I've yet to see one of these English Bibles come out spelling these as Jehoshaphat, Jehoiakim, Jehoiada.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we're going to look at the arguments of these Bible versions on that pro and anti-Jehovah type arguments. But what does Scott Jones have to say about this? The TexasReceptus.com/WikiJehovah there.
Okay.
Wiki page for that. Let's read that for a second. Go ahead and read
it. Okay. Scott Jones writes, Jehovah, pronounced Jehovah,
yeah,
is an English reading of the Hebrew letters there. And the most frequent form of the Tetragrammaton, the name of God in the Hebrew Bible. It is a direct phonetic transliteration based on the Hebrew Bible text with vowel points handed down by the Masoretes. Jehovah is the English rendition of the Hebrew Yahovah. Many scholars use the name Yahweh over Jehovah, claiming that it's closer to the original. Many names in the Bible use Jeho in them, proving that the Hebrews used the name Jehovah and not Yahweh. The name Jehovah is translated into the King James Bible as the Lord in capitals. The name Jehovah is God in capitals. Elohim is God, and Adonai is Lord.
Yep. And in the Holman Christian Standard Bible of 2003, the whole divine pattern is messed up. The Holman translates the single word in four different ways. Lord, God, Yah, Yahweh. Yah occurs twice and Yahweh some 72 times. But they also translate it as Lord and as God in all in a shotgun pattern. Another significant point about the King James Bible is found in Psalm 68:4. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name, extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, Jah, and rejoice before him. The word Jah is found only once in the entire Bible. It is found in Psalm 68:4. Okay? It is one word composed of three letters, thus representing the triune God. And it is the eighth time total that his personal name occurs. What is the significance of the number eight? Eight is the number of the new beginning. 7 days in a week, eight is a new beginning. Also, the males were circumcised the eighth day to signify a new covenant relationship with God. In Leviticus 25:22, we see the land was to rest the seventh year, and they were to sow a new crop in the eighth year. Noah was the eighth person saved during the flood when God began again to pre-populate the earth. Even in Revelation 17:11, when the beast begins his reign of the Antichrist, he is the eighth. And seven is that number of spiritual perfection. The King James Bible, we talked about that, uses the name Jehovah seven times. That's not an accident.
Amen.
In addition to this, another interesting thing found only in the King James Bible is the name Jehovah in capital letters is found four times in the Old Testament. Exodus chapter 6, verse 3, Psalms 83:18, Isaiah 12:2, and 26:4. Likewise, the name Jesus, standing in capital letters, all by itself and not in longer phrases, is found only four times in the New Testament. Matthew 1:21, verse 25, Luke 1:31, and Luke 2:21. Four is the number of the earth, and Jehovah God himself has come to this earth to save his people from their sins. Go ahead and read the next part, the name of Jesus in capital letters.
The name of Jesus in capital letters is found in two phrases. And he set up over his head his accusation written, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews," in Matthew 27:37. And in John 19:19, and Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross. And the writing was, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." This brings the total to six, and six is the number of man. Thus, Jehovah God, our Redeemer, seven, came to earth, four, as a man, six.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Amen.
Absolutely amazing that King James Bible is. Don't let anybody ever talk you out of it. So only in the King James Bible do we have these precious truths revealed. This is just one of the many marks of God on his book that shows that it is indeed his inspired word in the English language. Some people say, well, why doesn't the King James Bible always use the word Jehovah when it occurs in the Hebrew text? I think there are at least a couple of reasons for this, and there may well be more. One reason, and this is by Will Kinney, by the way, and I really appreciate his writings on the King James Bible, his defense of the King James Bible, and his tireless effort to stand for the Word of God and not to falter to these skeptics and these critical text people and these liars that don't want you to use the King James Bible. I appreciate his ministry a lot when it comes to that.
Yeah.
He's done a lot to help people with that. One reason is the fact that in the King James Bible and the Hebrew scriptures themselves, the words for Jehovah, translated in many Bibles as Lord, is capital in capital letters, and sometimes is God in capital letters, are interchangeable by the word of God, by the word for God, Elohim. Okay? There are many whole sections of Scripture found in Samuel, Kings, Chronicles, and Psalms that relate the same events, yet in one of the Hebrew texts, they use the word Jehovah, and in the other, it uses Elohim. Elohim. Thus, it seems quite evident that God himself uses these words interchangeably. See how that works? Because he's God, and he's
amen. Not
like we are, okay?
God has many names.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, amen.
Read about that next section there that talks about that, brother.
Okay. Here is one section of Scripture out of the many that do this. The same events are recorded in 2 Samuel 5:17 through 25 and in 1 Chronicles 14:8 through 17. Yet we see the word Jehovah being used in 2 Samuel, while Elohim is used in 1 Chronicles. And at the same time, Jehovah is used in both accounts. Mm-hmm. 2 Samuel 5:19 says, and David inquired of the Lord, Jehovah. Lord, capital L, all in capitals. But in 1 Chronicles 14:10, the same verse reads, and David inquired of God. In 2 Samuel 5:20, and David smote them there and said, the Lord hath broken forth upon mine enemies. Yet in 1 Chronicles 10, David said, God hath broken in upon mine enemies. In 2 Samuel 5:23, and when David inquired of the Lord, yet in 1 Chronicles 14:14, therefore David inquired again of God. In 2 Samuel 5:24, for then shall the Lord go out before thee. But in 1 Chronicles 14:15, for God is gone forth from before thee. And in 2 Samuel 5:25, it says, and David did so as the Lord had commanded him, while 1 Chronicles 14:16 has, David therefore did as God commanded him.
So you see how what God uses those interchangeably through the 1 Chronicles 14 passages often use God instead of Lord. Yet we see the Lord being used in verses 14, 10, and 17. The same interchangeability of the names Jehovah and Elohim is seen when comparing 2 Samuel chapter 6 with 1 Chronicles 13, where the same events and quotes are given. But one section uses the word Jehovah and the other one Elohim. In 2 Samuel 6:5, we read that David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord. Yet the exact same event is recorded in 1 Chronicles 13:8, and David and all Israel played before God, Elohim.
And what you'll find out is if you study these Hebrew roots guys, like I said before, they're modalists. Many of them will also tell you that many of them will say that, let's see, what do they call him? Yahshua was a created being. He was the first created.
That's wicked.
So once again, they're modalists. They do not believe that Jesus is God. They do not believe that Jehovah is Elohim. They do not believe that Yahushua is Elohim, which we're seeing clearly by these words being used interchangeably. This is the Bible defining itself, us not having to know Hebrew, us not having to go to the Strong's Concordance, but we can use the Bible to interpret the Bible, and it's showing us the Trinity.
Amen. Amen. That's right. Then in 2 Samuel 6:9, after God struck down Uzzah because he had touched the ark of God, we read, and David was afraid of the Lord, Jehovah, that day, and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? See, that's the word for Jehovah, that Lord is.
Yep.
Yet it's the same quote is given in 1 Chronicles 13:12, and David was afraid of God, Elohim, that day, saying, how shall I bring the ark of God, Elohim, home to me? See how God uses them interchangeably? It's very easy. It's not hard.
Yep.
And in 2 Samuel 6:11, we read that the ark of the Lord, which would be Jehovah, continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. Yet this very same event is recorded in 1 Chronicles 13:14, and it uses Elohim. So you see another fairly well known pair of Psalms show how the words Lord, Jehovah, and God are used interchangeably. So we see this all over the Bible. We're seeing these comparisons here. That what these guys are trying to sell you is not accurate.
Yep,
it's
amen.
Not at all. The Bible's very clear. These are very, there are two very similar Psalms they are quoted from in Romans chapter 3. Psalm 14:2 says, the Lord, which would be Jehovah, looked down from heaven unto the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Yet the same repeated in Psalm 53:2 says, God, Elohim, in that case, looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and did seek God. So we see the same pattern, interchangeability here of Lord Jehovah with Lord Adonai in Genesis chapter 18, where the Lord, which is Jehovah, speaks to Abraham, and yet Abraham calls him Lord Adonai, which would be Adonai. And the Lord Jehovah said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which is that word, Adonai, which am but dust and ashes. So you can see also the verses, verse number 30, 31, 32, where Abraham calls God the Lord, Adonai. And God again refers to himself as Lord Jehovah, should be Jehovah, in verse 33. The terms are interchangeable.
Amen.
Whenever you see the Lord or God in capital letters in the King James Bible, the underlying Hebrew word is Jehovah. And when either Elohim or Adonai are used, then the King James Bible puts these as either God or Lord with small letters following the capital G or L. Another reason the King James Bible, and most others as well, does not always use the word Jehovah, but usually translates it as either the Lord or God, is that when the Old Testament is quoted in the New Testament, the Greek translation of the Hebrew word becomes either God or Lord, theos or kurios, in the New Testament quotes. Here is just one of many such examples. In Deuteronomy 8:3, we read that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord, all capitals, which is that word Jehovah. Doth man live? And yet when this verse is quoted by Jesus in the New Testament, it says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Theos.
Yeah. Yeah.
So apparently it was not that big of a deal with God himself that his personal name always be translated strictly as Jehovah, but that the inspired words of both God and the Lord are entirely accurate and acceptable to God himself. Another possible reason is that since Jehovah is God's personal name and he is my father, so in like manner, we do not go around calling our earthly father by his personal name, unless we are talking about him to another. We generally call him dad, sir, or father. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
So that's very clear. Let's see. What's the next article we are going to look at that was pretty good in this list here?
The true names of God, or were we going to...
Yeah. That is a really good one. Let's see. Yep, that's the next one, True Names of God. And I think it's very valuable to take a look at.
Yeah.
So let's do that right now.
All right. You mean to start that off?
Yeah, you go ahead and start that off, brother. It's a very good article. Now, we didn't write this article, okay? And we didn't, you know, a lot of this material we're getting from Will Kinney's page, and we appreciate the brand plucked. You know, we can leave links in the teaching to that too as well, of how to get to this information, because we believe that it's accurate in looking at it, yeah. And it makes common sense as well. And this man, a man wrote this article, Craig Kersmaski. I don't know Craig Kersmaski. He could be a Ruckmanite. I'm not sure. But with this subject, I believe that he is speaking very biblically, accurately, historically, and it makes sense. It's not confusing. And a lot of conjecture goes into this argument that people have used. These arguments, they, most of these Hebrew roots and sacred name guys, the arguments are so ridiculous and they defy all logic, like you heard with Bill Schneblin's earlier. So you go ahead and get it started, brother.
Yep. Unfortunately, people have become dull of thinking for themselves. And I say this with good reasons, not in vain. This is what people do. One person tells a lie or a falsehood, then others repeat it. Eventually, people write it down, and other people start reading it and repeating it to others as if it were fact. Eventually, everyone is saying it as if it was a fact, when really the only evidence that it is true is, well, everyone knows it's true. So what's wrong with you for not believing it? Let me give you an example to describe what I'm talking about. Let's say hypothetically that the English language went out of use for 1,000 years and was brought back to life later, with no audio recordings to verify the correct pronunciations, and a person looking into an old 1611 King James Bible and seeing the following. I will quote the first three verses out of James for this example. One, I'm's a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. This was also prior to the use of the letter V as well, so it's a U. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, immediately, a person would notice that the name James and the word joy are spelled with an I at the beginning instead of a J. The letter J did not even exist until around 1450, but was not in common use till much later. Now, the reason I say that people are dull of thinking is because it doesn't take a lot of brain power to realize that just because a letter doesn't exist, that this does not mean the sound represented by that letter also did not exist.
Exactly.
It's not as if people could not go J, 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 J with their tongues until the letter was invented. But this is literally how dull people are. They conclude that since the letter did not exist, neither did the sound. They are wrong. Some might try to argue that when you call James, James, you are wrong, and it should be pronounced Imez or Yames, and joy should be pronounced Oi or Yoy.
That's why I call you Yim.
But yes. <no. laughs>
And you can call me Yason.
Okay.
And we have a man in our church, and we could call him Jacob.
Feel that's that true. Okay. Okay. But they are just ignorant. The truth is that in Hebrew, Greek, Latin, English, and other languages, the letter I was used to represent I, J, and Y. The fact of the matter is the letter Y did not exist in biblical Hebrew either. So by their own logic, God's name should be Ihawil. When you see people writing things down such as YHWY and Yahashua, if you are not dull of thinking, one thing should be pretty obvious. Those are English letters they are writing, not Hebrew.
Exactly.
So when someone says, all the Hebrew manuscripts contain YHWY, they are actually deceiving you or brainwashing you, because Hebrew manuscripts do not contain English letters, obviously.
Ah.
What they really mean contain the Tetragrammaton, which is the Yehovah.
Yep.
With the pronunciation symbols as well, which is important.
That's right. At that point, they're taking it upon themselves to retranslate the Hebrew into English for you, and hoping you will not be intelligent enough to think for yourself and say, hey, wait a second. How come you feel that you yourself, a native English-speaking person with less than 5 to 10 years of experience with Hebrew, think you are more skilled and able to translate the Hebrew than the God-appointed King James Bible translators who were unparalleled in their linguistic abilities to this very day? They fail to take many things into account. First of all, the preservation of the scriptures. They must assume that God has not perfectly preserved his word in the King James Bible. If this is true, that God did not preserve his words along with his name, then you must concede that we do in fact need the wisdom of men and modern scholarship to recover the words of God and the names of God, as they are desperately but pathetically trying to do with their many new versions and multitudes of different names, which no one can unanimously agree upon. They never have any agreement, none of them.
None of them. None of them.
But you know what we agree on? This King James Bible.
Amen, that's right. We have a final authority.
We do.
Amen. Yep.
They are like the people above who would try to insist that the name James should be pronounced Yames because there was no J, or they didn't put the J in there at least. But the rules of grammar back then were different, and at the beginning did have the J sound. So the letter I at the beginning had the J sound.
Yep.
I mean, just as in Greek and also Hebrew. Biblical Hebrew had the letters I-O-D and V-A-V, not Y-O-D-H. And WA, as modern scholars will try to convince you today. Oh, but everybody who knows anything knows that in Hebrew, those letters are actually Yod-Heh-Vod-Heh. I mean, come on, get with the times. False, 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 he says. This is terrible scholarship. Modern Hebrew is not the same as Biblical Hebrew. The language went out of use for a very long period of time. The revival of the Hebrew language was a process that took place in Europe and Palestine toward the end of the 19th century and into the 20th century, through which the language's usage changed from the sacred language of Judaism to a spoken and written language used for daily life in Israel. The process began as Jews started arriving in Palestine in the first half of the 19th century and used Hebrew as a lingua franca, or a language that is adopted as a common language between speakers whose native languages are different, a mixture. However, a parallel development in Europe elevated Hebrew from primarily a sacred liturgical language into a literary language, which played a key role in the development of nationalist educational programs. Modern Hebrew, along with modern Arabic, have been official languages since the British Mandate for Palestine and later Israeli Declaration of Independence in 1948. More than purely a linguistic process, the revival of Hebrew was utilized by Jewish modernization and political movements and became a tenet of the ideology associated with settlement of the land, a safe homeland, Zionism, and Israeli policy. The process of Hebrew's return to regular usage is unique. There are no other examples of a native natural language without any native speakers subsequently acquiring several million such native speakers, and no other examples of sacred language becoming a national language with millions of first language speakers. The language's revival eventually brought linguistic additions with it. While the initial leaders of the process insisted they were only continuing from the place where Hebrew's vitality was ended, that was actually created represented a broader basis of language acceptance. It includes characteristics derived from all periods of Hebrew language, as well as from non-Hebrew languages used by the long-established European Jewish communities, with Yiddish being predominant. That's important to understand.
Mm-hmm.
It's important to take special note here to the fact that it was predominantly Yiddish. Why is this important? Because Yiddish is the language that does not use a J, but replaces the J with a Y. If they want to declare that in Yiddish or modern Hebrew, the name of God is Yahuwah, I have no problem with that because God's name is Jehovah. See how it's the same?
Mm-hmm.
If you change the J to a Y and the V to a W, you get Yahuwah or Jehovah. But Yahuwah is not God's real name as preserved in the Bible, and no one in history ever called God Yahuwah. It is purely a modern linguistic invention with no ties whatsoever to God or the biblical languages. I do, however, have a problem with saying that Yahushua is the Yiddish or modern Hebrew name for Jesus, and I will get into that here in a moment. So go ahead and read that part.
Okay. The problem is The problem actually comes from our Bible colleges and seminaries, who no longer believe that we have a hold-in-your-hand, perfectly preserved Bible. The Bible is always secondary in these modern schools to the work of men, theologians, and Bible scholars. In our modern Bible colleges and seminaries, or cemeteries, as I like to call them, because that's where faith goes to die.
Mm-hmm.
I find that people coming out of Bible colleges and cemeteries are the most difficult people to reason with, because these colleges minister to their pride rather than building faith. They give them a few measly years of what is supposedly the biblical languages. Then in their arrogance, with a few lexicons and Bible concordances, they feel they are equipped with everything they need to correct the translation work that those incompetent King James translators failed to do so long ago. This is pride and arrogance at its best, and their minds become completely closed off to humility and truth. So God resists them, and they become deceived by lies.
Yep.
If we are divided upon the absolute standard and foundation of truth, the Word of God, then there can be no perfect unity and agreement between us, period. It's simply not possible. If we accept the deception that God did not preserve His Word in the King James Bible, then we become dependent upon the whims of other men or our own intellects to recover and reconstruct what God has failed to preserve. In other words, we have the preserved Word of God now, and much worse, an incompetent God who is a liar and cannot accomplish what He promises to do. There is no third option. It truly is a sad state I see our falling brethren in. Make no mistake, we are in the falling away predicted in Scriptures. If people would but humble themselves, pray to God, and think things through clearly, without pride or bias, God would reveal the truth by His Spirit to their spirits so that they can know it with certainty, showing them where He preserved words, His preserved words and names are. He would guide them into all truth as He promised.
Amen.
His Word is truth. However, they do not look to God for truth, humbling themselves in their prayer closets and listening for God in their spirits. They look to other men and trust their deceitful hearts. They are incapable of seeing that they are being led by blind guides because they themselves are blind.
Amen. Now he goes on to say, this is how we got the false name Yahweh. If you know anything about Bible numeric, you realize that they changed God's name from Jehovah, a seven-letter name, to Yahweh, a six-letter name, from the number of perfection and for God to the number of a man. I find it interesting. Perhaps they are preparing people to worship a certain someone. I wonder who it could be. Yeah.
Mm, yep.
I just talked about the number six the other day.
That's what we're saying.
Also, yep. It's interesting on that point that the word Savior, as there is only one Savior with seven letters, is changed to Savior with six in modern translations. A fireman or a policeman can be my Savior. Yet there are only one perfect Savior with seven letters.
Amen.
Now, let's deal with the issue of calling Jesus by the assorted names. We've talked about all these assorted names. Why do they do this, and where did it originate? The why is very simple. Historically, Jews have hated the name of Jesus. It has been ill spoken of in Jewish circles since they crucified him, and to this very day. Jews made up the theory, and I must emphasize the word theory, that Jesus is actually the equivalent of Joshua, the son of Nun. The fact of the matter is the name of their Messiah does not appear one single time in the Hebrew Scriptures. This is the fact that the people in the Hebrew Roots movement and the Sacred Name movement absolutely despise, and as a result are forced, literally forced, to declare that the New Testament was originally written in Hebrew. All sorts of theories are concocted, but they all go against both secular and biblical history and are easily disproved. God inspired the New Testament in Greek and text. And the text itself contains parts that specifically translate words into the Hebrew. This would make much sense if the New Testament was originally written in Hebrew. Or this wouldn't make much sense if the New Testament was originally written in Hebrew.
Yeah.
For example, Revelation 16:16. And he gathered them together into a place called, in the Hebrew tongue, Armageddon.
Exactly.
If it were originally written in the Hebrew tongue, the text would be meaningless. It would just say, and he gathered them together into a place called Armageddon.
Yeah.
There's also a website you can find that debunks this. But as far as Joshua being the supposed Hebrew equivalent to Jesus, it was first proposed in the oral traditions of the Jews that Joshua, the son of Nun, was the same as Jesus. But there is really no foundation for this claim whatsoever. It is merely a Kabbalistic or Talmudic tradition to make this claim. If I were to tell you my name, Craig, is actually in the Hebrew equivalent of Kaz, which means a thorn, you might believe me because I'm like a thorn in the side of those who desire to call God by false names and use perverted modern Bibles. However, there is no foundation for this claim to equivalency, other than the fact that I just said it. But what if I had said it 2,000 years ago and then wrote it down in a book and lots of people believed it? Then you were to find those records today, this would not make it any more true than when it was first stated. But Satan is too... So you see what I mean? That myth was just repeated over and over again. And even Hitler said, if you repeat a lie long enough, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and it comes from the Midrash, the Talmud, and the oral traditions.
Right.
Which not the word comes of God. From Babylon.
Babylon.
Yep.
Okay, Satan has two purposes by perverting the names of God and Jesus. Number one, to create doubt and confusion over what God has preserved and destroy a person's faith in the Bible. Well, that we understand.
Yeah.
To cause people to stop using the true name of Jesus, which has the power and authority in exchange for a counterfeit. Satan always has his counterfeits. So Acts chapter 3, what does it say, Brother Jim? Go ahead and go through some of those.
Okay, Acts 3:6 says, then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Acts 16:18 says, and this did she many days, but Paul being grieved turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her, and he came out the same hour.
Okay, so stop.
And this is...
Go ahead.
Yep. Yeah, these are the exact same claims that Bill Schneblin makes in his testimony that was given 10 or 15 years ago, that the reason his ministry had so much success casting out devils is because they were doing it with the power of Jesus's name.
Right. But then that changed, right? Something changed.
Yeah.
So what Bill Schneblin is trying to get you to think, and Rob Skiba and the other Hebrew Roots guys, what they're trying to get you to think is that the Bible, God did not preserve his word. God could not preserve his name. He had to correct it 400 or 500 years later because it wasn't possible for him to preserve it that long. So men died for the last 400 or 500 years believing that the name of Jesus was his name, and they were all deceived and they all died. They had the greatest spiritual revivals and moving and spiritual great awakenings and everything else, but they used the name Jesus and they were just deceived. God didn't have the power to preserve his word to give it to you without those mistakes in it. And something as important as God's name, he didn't make sure that was translated correctly, but he's going to make sure your soul is saved for all of eternity.
Right. Right. He can't preserve his own name, but somehow he can preserve your soul for eternity.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
That's just the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Here's the bottom line that all these Bible correctors, Bible agnostics, Hebrew Roots people, and sacred namers cannot accept. The New Testament was inspired and written in Greek. And it really doesn't matter what people call him in modern Hebrew or Yiddish. What matters is what his disciples called him and what God called him in his word. When we go to the Greek, we find the name is written as inspired, L-E-S-O-U-S. This is translated to English as Jesus, pronounced in both languages as Jesus. Therefore, when people were walking and talking with Jesus, and when the Jews were persecuted, Jesus, they were calling him, believe it or not, Jesus. When the King James translators translated names from one language to another, they did not actually translate them at all. They transliterated them. Now, Brother Jim, I want you to explain what a transliteration is.
Okay. So here's the definition of transliterate. To represent letters or words in the corresponding characters of an alphabet. Transliteration. The spelling of a word in one language with the alphabet of another language. In simple terms, it means they brought over into English with the same sound and pronunciations as from the former language. When you read the word Jehovah in the King James Bible, it is literally the same pronunciation as they would say the word the tetragrammaton with the vowel notations in it.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't believe that lie for a second that the vowel pointing of the Hebrew Masoretic text are not part of God's inspired word. Are we to believe that God would send down the preserved Hebrew text without future generations having a means to decipher the correct pronunciations? Foolishness. The Hebrew Masoretic text was God's means to convey his word into the English, which is where it is now preserved. Those who do not understand spiritual things but are carnal in their thinking will try to convince you that the numbers and chapter divisions are not inspired either. But don't believe them. God put them there so that no all finalized here on earth. His word is forever settled in heaven, and I don't have time to go into Bible numerics here, but those numbers are certainly inspired.
Amen.
For those of us who put our faith in God and are led by his Spirit, we can rest assured that we have the very words of God inspired, preserved, infallible, inerrant, perfect.
Amen. And inside those words of God, we have the true name of the Father and the Son. Jehovah and Jesus are the names which are written. We never need to doubt God's word based on the speculations of scholarly endeavors of mere men who theorize about God being too incompetent to convey these things down through time for us, and that it is now incumbent upon them to recover and reconstruct it for us with their tools of linguistics, Greek and Hebrew lexicons, and their own abilities and wisdom, which is where their faith truly rests, certainly not in the pure words of God. Think about this for a second. Let me ask you a question. Where did God in his word tell you that his name was wrong, that his name was translated wrong? Where in this King James Bible did God tell you that he preserved his word wrong and some joker's got to come in and fix it?
Bill had this great successful ministry that did all these other things that all these other ministries couldn't do by the power of the name of Jesus, and now he was wrong the whole entire time, and all the success that he gave to the name of Jesus was now just he handed it over to a devil.
Yeah, he just basically said it was all the devil. He didn't basically say it, he did say it. So, Bill, I guess I got to ask you a question. Are you following a devil?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I mean, Isaiah 52:6 says, "Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore they shall know it in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I."
Amen.
Ezekiel 39:7, "So will I make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and will not let them pollute my holy name anymore. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel." Now, some might say it will be made known to Israel, but Jesus often spoke in such a way that his words would be interpreted falsely with a carnal meaning or a spiritual meaning as it was in truth. For example, when he said, "Destroy this temple, in 3 days I will raise it up," those who were carnally minded thought he was talking about the physical temple building. But it says they knew not that he spoke of the temple of his body. In the same way, not all who are the seed of Israel are of Israel. Those who are of the promise are spiritual Israel. People so much focus on the Hebrew language and the physical people of Israel that they miss the deeper spiritual meanings which lie underneath. Bible colleges and cemetery ministries to a person's pride speak to a person's pride, but we know that God resists the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. That is why people misunderstand spiritual truths. That's so true.
Yeah.
He said, on the other hand, I've also seen this among many people professing to believe that the King James is God's preserved word. The lesson from this is that it is not enough to just believe the Bible is God's perfect word. As the Bible tells us, even the devils believe and tremble. We have to put our faith fully into it and to obey and live the words which it contains. Only when we do this will we know all if these doctrines I am speaking of are from God or if I speak my own. If you don't do the will of God, you will be deceived by your own heart and other men. John 7:17, if any man do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be God, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. So the Bible's very clear as far as that goes, and very clear about the sacred name movement. Now, we've got one more thing at the end of this that we want to share with you, and we'll probably wrap it up after that. Let me see here. Where's that at? Let's see. It's back to Will Kinney's.
Okay.
At the end of that, this note from this missionary posted by missionary King James Bible believer Peter Heisen. I don't know Peter. I'm not vouching for everything that he said, but I can vouch for this in the sense of that what he's saying is correct here. He's speaking the truth here and outing a bunch of nonsense that this is a lot of this is common sense. Okay. But he starts out by saying the vowels of the Tetragrammaton, that is Yahuwah or Jehovah, which are not a late addition, but represent the original and true pronunciation of the profoundly significant divine name. The commonly repeated modern idea that the pronunciation Jehovah is a late and incorrect invention, while Yahweh is the true pronunciation of the name, is false. No known Hebrew manuscript on earth contains the vocalization Yahweh. On the other hand, the form Jehovah is found in a variety of locations in the oldest Hebrew copies, such as the Aleppo Codex, and a variety of biblical fragments dated between 700 and 900, as well as being the universal pointing in the Old Testament Textus Receptus. Jewish scholars such as, I don't know if I say this guy's name right, Maimonides?
Yeah, well, I can't help you on that one.
1138 to 1204 affirmed that the Tetragrammaton was pronounced according to its letters Jehovah, or Y-E-H-O-W-A-H. Whereas the common, what's that?
I will say one thing. I do know where Yahweh is in a particular Bible. If you look in front of, if you look in the front of like an old Catholic Bible, and when you find the pyramid with the all-seeing eye on it, you'll see the word Yahweh printed in it. And maybe we could get Luke to insert that. But
we certainly can.
Yeah. Yep. But that's where I find Yahweh, in a Catholic Bible on top of the pyramid.
Yep. There you go.
Yep. Yep.
With his one eye, right?
Yep.
The idle shepherd with his one eye out. Okay. So that Jewish scholar, though, he affirmed that the Tetragrammaton was pronounced according to those letters. Whereas the common modern notion affirms the vowels of the divine name simply lifted from Adonai, the Yod of the tetragram, would have a Hatif, Pathic, underneath it, not a Shua. Furthermore, all the names in Scripture that begin with portions of the Tetragrammaton possess the vowels of Jehovah, not Yahweh. If one wanted to maintain that the vocalization of God's name has been corrupted in Scripture, contrary to his declarations that nothing of the kind would happen in Psalm 12:6-7 and Matthew 5:18, we have those promises. One would also need to maintain that every name in the Bible that begins with part of the Tetragrammaton has also been corrupted. Jehoiada would really be something like Yawada or Yehuda. Jehoaz would be Yawahaz, and Jehoash would be Yawahawash, whatever that is. Furthermore, no theophoric names anywhere in Scripture end within E-H and E-H. The expected ending were the name pronounced Yahweh. Similarly, the word hallelujah and the Greek alleluia validate the ah at the end of the divine name.
See, and that's why the black Hebrew Israelites do all that Hiawashi stuff, because that's actually what the black Hebrew Israelites are trying to do. They're trying to replace, they do all that mess, and that's why they end up with those real long, crazy names that nobody can say.
Exactly. I've seen it on the streets. I've been with them on in front of them on the streets. Been there right when they were right there. Furthermore, the Mishnah states that the name was pronounced as it was written, that is, as Jehovah. This pronunciation is also consistent with the Talmudic evidence. The plain facts concerning what the vowels on the name actually are in the Hebrew text, other theophoric names, the Mishnah, and a variety of other evidences demonstrate that the Tetragrammaton is correctly pronounced Jehovah. In contrast to the strong evidence in favor of a pronunciation Jehovah, very little favors the pronunciation of Yahweh. Since this later pronunciation is not favored by any evidence in the Hebrew of the Bible, nor in other ancient Jewish documents, its advocates must look outside of Scripture and Jewish texts for evidence in its favor. This they find in the late patristic writers Theodoret and Epiphanius, who give Ayub as the pronunciation of the Tetragrammaton, although the former distinguishes this vocalization as the pronunciation of the Samaritans. These statements constitute the most substantive and strongest arguments in favor of the pronunciation Yahweh. Also, papyri involving pagan magic, and in which every possible and impossible designation of deities, Greek, Egyptian, and Semitic, is found in profuse variety, contain invocations that sound like the word Yahweh. Go ahead and pick that up, brother.
To use the speculations of two patristic writers, one of whom even specifies that Yahweh was the Samaritan pronunciation, and that Jews used something else to overthrow the vocalization of the name in the Old Testament Textus Receptus, Jehovah, is entirely unjustifiable. To use a name found in some pagan papyri that are invoking numberless idols and demons to reject Jehovah is even worse. The evidence for the pronunciation Yahweh is very poor and totally insufficient to overthrow the powerful and numerous evidences in favor of the pronunciation Jehovah. Thus, it is evident that Jehovah is the correct pronunciation of the name of God. Jehovah has not allowed the pronunciation of his name to be lost. The error that Yahweh is the correct pronunciation of the divine name is connected to the error that only the consonants of the Hebrew text are inspired, while the vowels were invented by a class of Jewish scribes around the 10th century A.D. On the contrary, Scripture and solid evidence demonstrates that the words of the Hebrew text, including the vowels, are inspired and were recorded by biblical authors. Extensive evidence for the inspiration of the Hebrew vowels is provided in my essay, Evidences for the Inspiration of the Hebrew Vowel Points, in the bibliology section of my website. We'll post this in the notes.
Yeah, we'll post
the evidence for the the evidence for the pronunciation Jehovah above is a summary of Appendix 1 of the same essay on my website, where extensive documentation and a more detailed discussion is provided. The question is also discussed in lecture number 1 of my class on Trinitarianism. Okay. My essay, The Debate Over the Inspiration of the Hebrew Vowel Points, should also be mentioned. Furthermore, the fact that Jehovah is...
Go ahead, brother.
Okay, I'm sorry. Furthermore, the fact that Jehovah is the correct pronunciation of the Tetragrammaton is one of a number of strong reasons to reject the critical Hebrew text, the Leningrad MS, underlying the generality of modern English Bible version.
Yep.
While the Old Testament received text that underlies the authorized version properly and fully vocalizes the Tetragrammaton, the Hebrew critical text corrupts the divine name by omitting one of its vowels in thousands of passages.
Yeah.
Other serious corruptions are also present in the Leningrad MS.
Finally, the King James Bible is found to be correct in its vocalization of the divine name as Jehovah, while it properly omits the modern fictitious pronunciation Yahweh. God's people should do the same and call not on Yahweh, but on the triune Jehovah. The name Jesus. In the 1611, the King James Version, the name Jesus was spelled with an I. It was not spelled with the letter J. The letter I was changed into the letter J, forming a new letter. Some claim the J sound did not exist before the 16th century, but scholars have proven that it did. The letter I represented three sounds. When followed by a consonant, I was pronounced I as in Israel. When I was followed by a vowel, it was pronounced J as in Jezreel. The sound I, when followed by a vowel, can also be pronounced Yisrael. It seems to be a matter of choice. It is not correct to claim that the J should be pronounced Yah or Yeh. Therefore, it is not correct to pronounce the name Jesus as Yahushua or Yeshua. In the Hebrew alphabet, there is no Y or W. So it is also incorrect to pronounce the name Jehovah as Yahuwah, Yuhu. In Hebrew, the name Jesus would be J-E-S-O-U-S. But in English, it was pronounced Jesus. In Numbers 13:16, Moses changed the name of Oshua to Jehoshua or Joshua in English. Jesus means salvation, and Joshua means deliverer. Some try to say the name Jesus was borrowed from a pagan god. The above briefly stated proves the name Jesus originated not from paganism, but was original.
Correct, and we still have these same, in our modern English language, we have certain vowels like the letter C. Sometimes it makes the C sound, sometimes it makes the K sound, sometimes it makes the S sound. So we have these exact same grammatical changes exist today, and we have the exceptions in our own modern English.
Amen. Amen. So what we find here is a bunch of hooey is what we find here, or Yahooey, however you want to say it. But that's what we find here, because honestly, what you come up with is these people are lying to you. Okay, they're telling you there was no J sound. That's not true. We can prove that from the King James Bible that there was. Okay, and we prove that through all the names that they don't state all these names in different. They don't use the Y sound in all these names.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what the purpose of some of this is. The purpose of some of this is, number one, is they want to sound more smarter than they really are.
Yeah.
Okay, they want to sound like they're highly intelligent. Some of them want to reinvent themselves. Some have nefarious motives and are trying to sway you. They're trying to – so I guess, you know, we're pretty much done with this, okay?
Yep,
unless you had something else. I want to add something from Galatians here. But other than that, I think we've pretty much put to rest this one here on that subject. And, I mean, I'm sure there may be some follow-ups later. But the book of Galatians is a book that the Hebrew roots people don't like. Chapter number 3, well, in chapter number 2, we find out that Barnabas was carried away with their dissimulation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in chapter 2, we find that out. In chapter 3, the Bible says this, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? By the way, this is a bunch of foolishness.
Amen.
That they're pushing. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you in the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of the faith, the same are the children of Abraham? And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed by faith with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse that is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man who doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. Listen, the Scriptures have, he goes to the Scriptures in verse number 22. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe.
Amen.
By the Scripture, he says over and over again. By the Scripture, he's saying over and over again. By the Scripture. Right?
Yep. So how, Galatians, how are you to protect yourself from being deceived?
The Scriptures.
By the Scriptures. Amen. Amen.
Paul said, he said that they zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, and the one by a bondmaid and the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, and he of the free woman was by the promise. Listen, this is, the Bible is very clear. Why, after you have known God, listen, think about this, verse number 9, but now after ye that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage?
Yep, that's like Bill. He knew Jesus. Jesus supposedly saved him, but now Jesus is a devil, and he worships Yehoshua or whoever.
Right.
Yeah.
I preached on this last week. You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? What did Paul say? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubles you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. Paul was, you know, and that's what I have to say to you here as we end this, is that, you know, these men are troubling you. They're trying to talk you out of this book.
Yeah.
They're trying to talk you out of the Word of God. And I'm here to tell you that you can have faith in the Word of God.
Amen. Because they know that, just like Galatians says, what's going to protect you from Judaizers is the Scriptures. So cast out on all the Scriptures so that you have no foundation to return to protect you from the Judaizers.
Right. And what did Paul say? He said, who hath bewitched you?
Yep. Right.
He said, somebody talked you out of this book. Somebody has talked you out of this. You didn't get this. Cometh not from above. This is not from God.
Yep.
Somebody talked you out of this. They told you that Jesus in this book is not translated correctly. So this book there, okay, can I be logical with you? Here's logic. The word Jesus in the Bible, by Bill Schneblin and all the other Hebrew roots guys, the word Jesus is not translated correctly in this book. Therefore, they are saying that you have a book that is not translated correctly, that there are errors in your Bible.
Yeah.
They just told you that. So you have to make a decision. do I believe God's word, or do I take the word of a guy that said that he was a vampire before, said that he was a witch, a warlock, a mason, a Mormon priest, and all these other things, and said that the name of Jesus did help him then, but then after a while, he grew out of the name of Jesus, and he's past all that now. Do you believe those people when they tell you that your Bible has errors? Well, if God can't perfectly preserve his word, how is your soul going to end up in heaven then? You can't separate Christ from his word. You can't separate the word from the word.
Amen.
Go listen to Mike Hoggard's teaching on that. He did a good message on that. Him and I don't always agree on everything, but you know what? That right there was a good message on the word of God being inseparable. And you know what? If the Jesus of this Bible isn't the real Jesus and I can't trust him, then how can I trust the book? If I can't trust the book, how can I trust Jesus?
Yeah, that's right.
They're inseparable, right?
Amen.
You can believe your Bible, and don't believe some guy that's trying to speak another language, trying to talk you out of it. Don't fall for that. Don't believe that. You believe the word of God. You believe what God said in his word. And you trust that if that word is powerful enough to save you, God holds his word even above his name, the Bible says.
Amen.
But they're telling you his word is wrong. So they don't even really believe in his name. It's not true. Anything else, Brother Jim, you could think of?
No, I think we've hit everything.
I think we have for now. We're going to revisit this Hebrew root sacred name stuff again. There's a few other things that we're going to cover and tackle.
Amen.
And
yep.
Everything like that. But I hope that, you know, our goal today is not to be unkind to anybody. It's not to be mean to anybody.
Yep.
That's not. But to be straightforward and bold and said, listen,
Amen.
Paul said, I don't know who's troubling you, but you know what? I'd like to know who they are. Paul was very bold and straightforward with these Judaizers. He didn't pull any punches. Yep. He withstood Peter to his face. He didn't pull any punches with anything. And I'm not going to pull any punches either. You need to know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. And you need to believe God's word. And I'm not going to let anybody deceive you if I can be a blessing to you and help you with that. We are trying to encourage you in God's word. We're trying
Amen.
To get you to trust God's word, not doubt God's word, not believe what some Johnny come lately comes around and says that, oh, all of a sudden I believed in the name of Jesus, but now it's not real. You know who does that? Plants do that. People that are that set people up for a long period of time and then they sway them from the truth.
Yeah.
That's who does that.
And the Lord Jesus Christ can still save your soul. The
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for sinners, was buried, and rose again the third day. And he hath commanded all men everywhere to repent.
Amen.
The gospel of Jesus Christ. And if you're listening to this, if you've gotten all the way through this and you've never repented and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone, I would encourage you today, this could be the greatest day of your life. You could be born again by the Spirit of God, and you could be saved and your sins forgiven and washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Because you know what? The blood of Jesus Christ has power, and Jesus Christ has power on earth to forgive sinners. And he came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly, but you must repent and believe the gospel. You must be willing to admit that you are a wicked, hellbound sinner deserving of hell, and that Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose again and defeated death. And you need to turn to him and repent and believe the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
I got saved the old-fashioned way from this old book right here. In fact, before I got saved, this is like a replica of the childhood book that I was given, the childhood King James Bible that I was given. And I was reading it 6 months before I got saved. I was reading it. I'd fall asleep in the bathtub reading it. I just fall asleep sitting there soaking. My mom and dad had one of those bathtubs that had bubbled the jets. And, man, I'd sit in there and I'd read and I'd read and I'd read and I'd read and I'd read. And God was working on my soul. And you know what? The same old King James Bible, that same Lord Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what. I don't care what Schneblin says. I don't care what Skiba says. I don't care what any of them sacred namers says. I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't speak double talk. I'll tell you the truth. Jesus Christ changed me and made me a new creature.
Amen.
It wasn't any other name that I had to figure out or anything else, but it's the name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Don't you let anybody talk you out of this Bible, and don't you let anybody tell you that it's not perfect, inspired, infallible, the Word of the living God. Don't let them talk you out of
Amen.
It.
Amen.
Shun profane and vain babblings. You just walk away from them. They're vain jangling. They're trying to, they're subverted. And you just stay away from them. Don't listen to their teachings. They're going to pervert you from the Word of God. The simplicity that is in Christ Jesus. Just like Eve was seduced by what? Words.
Yeah.
And that's what they're trying to do to you, is subvert you with words. Be saved. I pray you get saved. Turn to Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what we're here for, is to lead you to the Lord and show you the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. So get in that book and read. All right, Brother Jim, I think that's it. So, yeah. Amen. I enjoyed it. It was a good time. We learned a lot from
amen.
It. For Brother Jim, it's Pastor Jason Cooley for OPBC Online, a ministry of Old Paths Baptist Church in Northfield, Minnesota.